Hi, I'm Keren, and this is The Divine Feminist, a podcast about putting the magic and the common sense of balance back at the very center of our world, and along the way reconnecting with the perfect spark of usness that's always been waiting outside of the boxes and the shoulds of society, ready to bring us back to ourselves. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's get going. Well, hello and welcome back to The Divine Feminist. How are you doing? And let me ask that again. How are you really? And when I ask that question, I invite you to let it sink in. Sink into every level of your being, to every facet of your consciousness. And just settle. Just settle there. Allowing it to find some steady ground, steady enough to feel safe. For those different aspects of yourself to respond to that question when it's asked again. How are you really? And I invite you to listen, to feel, to see what comes up in response to that. And not only what comes up immediately, but what comes up in response to the follow-up question. And what do you need? How can I support you? As you let those responses just flow from and within you. I know I say this all the time, but I wonder sometimes how different our world would be, how different our lives would be if we all took the time to ask ourselves that question more often and to answer it for ourselves instead of just kind of asking it flippantly, maybe as you're brushing your teeth and then moving on to the next thing in what is inevitably a busy day as part of a busy life in a busy old world, you know? I don't know. I just think that there would be so much capacity for us if only we held the space for ourselves. We held the space to listen to ourselves, to reflect with ourselves, to connect with ourselves. In that spirit of connection, let me give you a little bit of an update on something I spoke about last time around. Last time, as you may remember, I shared a bit of a sneak peek of the Divine Feminist community. At the time, I was talking about how I was really hoping that the community would be live this month, and I was very, very much intending to get that up and running and kind of open for members to join by the 1st of May, Beltane. Unfortunately, that hasn't really happened. Unfortunately, this Divine Feminist book that I am working on has taken over, I was going to say my life. That might be a bit dramatic, but nah, it's not. It turns out she's a bit of a wild one. She's taken me on a bit of a wild creative ride that I didn't really expect. You know, I had a plan of what this book would be. I had a plan of what I was going to say, what I was going to write and how it was going to be. And yeah, the book has a mind of its own and has just taken me along with it. So as a consequence of that, the community is going to be delayed by a little while. I'm still very much hoping to get it up and running as soon as is humanly possible. I'm planning to get it up and running as soon as is humanly possible. And until then, I'm also planning to be sharing, again, some kind of sneak peek materials for what you can expect from the community moving forwards. So look out for the materials that will align with this episode coming your way very soon. Probably the best place to keep up to date with those is over on Instagram at divine.feminist. And they'll be sharing as soon as they're up there, as soon as they're posted, and as soon as they're ready for you to deepen your journey with everything we speak about in this week's episode. Meanwhile, on the subject of the book, that is, as you would expect, still going strong. It's still going to be out towards the end of this year. Although the manuscript isn't in yet, it's going okay. And I really look forward to sharing more news about that with you as soon as it's ready, as soon as it comes. So bear with me on that one. Anyway, back to today. As you know, I've been really pulled over the last month or so to be focusing more on the elements, on this kind of elemental aspect of cyclical living. I guess that makes sense to me as somebody who follows a very nature-based way of life, to focus on those building blocks of nature and what I'm saying. And so now, as we've moved into Taurus season, I want to be focusing a bit on Earth and on the qualities that align with Taurus, the qualities that align with the element of Earth. I say that, but really, the topic for today, I guess, could also be seen as a bit airy, maybe a bit watery, maybe a bit of everything. And I guess that's the crux of this, isn't it? That those elements, they are the building blocks of everything that we experience in life here on Earth. And so we'll have bits of each of them in every aspect of our lives. But still, today I want to talk about the subject of beauty. Now, Taurians are known for their appreciation of beauty, their appreciation of pleasure, sensual pleasure particularly. But recently I've started wondering about what that word even means. Because in some ways, the idea of beauty, when we hear that word, it makes many of us roll our eyes, doesn't it? Or it makes many of us somehow feel less than, somehow feel like there's a scale that we have to measure ourselves against and inevitably will always come up short. I get that. We have all been sold this idea that beauty is some sort of contest, something we can't all have and we have to measure against one another, right? But we're so busy focusing on and striving for this idea of beauty as attractiveness, a socially designed concept that changes from season to season, from generation to generation, from country to country, that we've forgotten what that word really means. We've forgotten what it is to be beautiful. And note that I didn't say beautiful, I said beautiful. That's something I want to explore here because it's been coming up so much with clients I'm working with. I mean, in honesty, it comes up a lot with clients I'm working with generally because that's the work I do and it's the nature of our society. But it's also been coming up a lot recently in personal conversations too. Various different types of personal conversations that I have. And so I invite you to think about that idea of beauty for yourself, about what it means to you. And what's more, I invite you right now, in this moment, to just ponder for a second. What is the most beautiful thing you have ever experienced? Maybe as I ask that question, you have some ideas of how you'd respond to it pretty quickly. I know I do. I think about the lake I saw one day in New Zealand that literally took my breath away. I think about the moment a couple of years back where I was stood in my favourite place in the world, Kielder in Northumberland, looking out over, again, a lake in a forest. Then I was brought to tears by just how stunning it all looked. I think about those videos I've seen of dogs greeting their owners and children greeting their parents after they've been apart for long, long periods of time where the emotion in them, the happiness in them, the joy is just so beautiful. It makes my heart explode. And I think about the night I went to see Fleetwood Mac in summer 2019 with some friends. The music was incredible. The sun was just going down, just setting over the horizon. And I remember just feeling like this was absolutely stunning. And when I think of those things, it makes me wonder if beauty, real, true beauty, is it really just the tangible expression of love? When we are feeling that sense of filled with beauty, of beautifulness, is that because we're responding to that expression of love, expression of expansion, expression of the incredibleness that we can only ever get by being physically incarnated here on Earth? And I don't know if that makes sense. It does in my head. It does in the way I feel it. But it almost doesn't in the way that I can say it, or even, I would argue, write it. If I think about that moment at the Fleetwood Mac concert, for example, I remember closing my eyes. I remember soaking it all in, just immersing myself in the sensation of it all, in the way the music flowed through every fibre of my being. In the way the sunset was casting these shadows, even on me, sitting in the stands of a football stadium that just had such a warmth, had such a tone, and I can't even describe it, but it was beautiful. I remember thinking in that moment, there is no drug I could take that would make me feel this incredible. I remember thinking in that moment, there is nothing I could do right now that would make me more grateful to be alive, more fully in my body and fully just immersed in the sensation of everything that it is to be here and now. just letting that fill me up and really, really being so in it. And you know, when we find those moments where the beauty is overwhelming, where the beauty spills out of the world around us, spills out of whoever or whatever we're with, to the point that it fills us up, it does put us in that mindset, doesn't it, of being full of love for the universe, full of love for this earth, full of gratitude at just being here. Oh, is there anything better in life? It's these moments that we talk about a transcendence. It's these moments that we talk about a noetic state of feeling like we're close to something greater. And really, in many ways, to me, what that is beauty. But it's hard because there's no rhyme or reason to those moments. The things I speak of as being the most beautiful experiences of my life, they might well leave you thinking, meh, that's all right. This is why art is so subjective, right? Because we all look at works of art and some of us will look at them and say, oh my word, that it takes my breath away. It's so incredible. It just makes me awestruck by it. Someone else will look at the same painting or sculpture or whatever it may be and go, it's all right. It makes me think of a Helen Keller quote that I had on my wall for many years as a teenager. Because of course I had quotes on my wall as a teenager. What else do teenagers do? Posters of boy bands and quotes from cool people who said cool things. And it said something along the lines of, the best and most beautiful things on earth cannot be seen or touched. They can only be felt with the heart. The older I get, the more I think that maybe that's true. That we've been told that beauty is measurable, that beauty is a certain thing, because it's so difficult to describe otherwise. It's so difficult to understand in many ways. And that's not because any of us are wrong with what we think is beautiful. Because what touches and is felt by our hearts, they're so different for each of us. But that doesn't mean to say that any of us are wrong with it. It just means to say that our hearts are, they're these unique beings that occupy these spaces within these unique selves of ours. They are touched by, they are resonant with so many different things. And yeah, every one of them is right. Every one of them is true to the individual person who is seeing and experiencing that beauty. And maybe this is exactly the problem. Maybe this is the challenge, that in a world that so very much likes to have these objective, categoric, confirmed facts that we can measure against, is this why we struggle with the idea of beauty so much? Is this why beauty has been changed to become what we now see it as? Because it can't be measured. It, by its very nature, is not measurable, is not black and white. Add that then to a patriarchal culture that wants to try and subjugate the feminine. And is it any wonder, really, that we've conflated the idea of beauty with the standards of physical attractiveness that our society tells us are and aren't the case? It's so messed up though, isn't it? The world likes to tell us that to be beautiful means to look a very particular way. And it's something that this world of ours does with so many things, right? It gives us the rules, the checklists, the, all of the things of what it means to be. Of the tangibles, it says we need to tick off a list in order to achieve some sort of intangible status that in reality is personal for each of us. The idea of beauty as a checklist, though, it causes so many problems because that idea is a one that so few of us, pretty much no one, if we're honest, naturally live up to. This is an age-old story, of course. I am not the first person, I'm certainly not the first feminist, to complain about societal standards of beauty. And with that in mind, I'm not going to pretend to suggest that anything I'm saying here is especially new. But I will say that this is a subject we need to keep talking about, because it's one that is still ruling so many of our lives and keeping so many of us small. Now, you might be thinking, hold on, Karen, that's a bit OTT. What do you even mean? I mean, yes, I look in the mirror every now and again and scowl a bit. I wish I could look a bit different, but that's hardly keeping me small. It's hardly preventing me from being who I want to be and who I am. Maybe that's the case. And if that's the case for you, then get in. Go you. I'm so pleased, and I'd quite like to know how you do it, to be honest. Because for many people, it's absolutely not the case. Think about the amount that each of us spend on looking different. From shape our underwear that pulls us in certain directions, to makeup that makes us look a certain way, to hair dye and cosmetic surgery and all of the other things. Think of the ways that so many of us are afraid to do the things that we want to do, to put ourselves out there in the world because of what people will say. Not even necessarily about what we have to say or what we have to do, although I accept that there is a lot of that too, and that's something we've talked about before and will again, but because of what they'll say about how we look. A wonderful sister of mine put something on Instagram last week, I believe, as I'm recording this, about a reel that she'd put on her Instagram feed. This is a woman who is so powerful, who does so much good for her clients and also for the community in which she lives. She put a reel up there that was really her in her power. She was dancing, she was doing her thing. And she had so many comments back, criticising how she looked, calling her all sorts of things that I won't repeat here because I don't want to give them that airtime. The vast majority, it has to be said, were from men who were trying to bring her down, trying to keep her quiet by reminding her that she didn't look like they expected her to look. It's a thing that can keep so many people in that place of submission, in that place of unwillingness to step into the limelight because they don't want to be judged for how they look. And so with that in mind, yes, it is another way of keeping us small. And all of that money that we spend on things because we feel we should, not because we want to, and that's something I'll get onto in a moment, but because we feel we should, because we feel we have to. Imagine what we'd spend that money on if we weren't buying all of the makeup and the cosmetic surgery and the hair stuff and all of the other things. I wonder how much time, energy and money, how many resources, for want of a better word, more of those things we would have in our lives if we were to add up all the things that we've done over the years just to adhere to some sort of societal norm of how we should look. I would wager there's a lot. There was a thing that did the rounds on social media a while ago now that talked about how many industries would go out of business if one day every person in the world just stood up and said, nah, I don't need to look the way you tell me I need to look. I'm pretty beautiful just as I am, thanks. Don't really need your extra products. Just not a thing. I have so many clients who spend so much time, so much energy, and let's be honest, so much money on therapy in an attempt to just have a more at peace relationship with their physical selves, with their bodies and with their faces. Because in a climate that has been designed to do anything but that, in a climate that has told them for so long that their physical selves are not enough, they've disconnected from that part of themselves, sometimes to the point of hate, and find it so difficult to move forward, to be everything and anything that they can be, because the physical body that they get to call home just isn't one they're comfortable in. It can feel like such a minimal thing, such a thing that we just roll our eyes at and say, body image issues, yeah, we've all got them, it's all fine. We just get through life anyway. It can be something that we kind of dismiss in many ways. And yet, it's something that I do see every single day, keeping people, predominantly those who identify as women, although I'm well aware they're not the only ones, small. Keeping them from a place of feeling whole, of feeling fulfilled, of being able to truly move forwards as themselves. As I say this stuff, it makes me so angry. And yet I cannot tell you that I'm immune to this. I might be the space holder. I might be the one giving voice to this as some sort of observer who isn't part of it. But hey, I'm exactly the same in different ways, you know. I am somebody who still dyes her hair regularly because I am not ready to slip into that point of feeling like I'm old, that the silver sparkles on my head would claim that I am according to societal standards of beauty. I'm somebody who absolutely still sucks her tummy in for a photograph because I just don't want to look that way. I'm somebody who still has hang-ups and still has issues because for all I try my damnedest not to drink the Kool-Aid of this society that we're in, it's a Kool-Aid that I've been stewing in for 30 odd years. And a Kool-Aid that my ancestors have been stewing in for longer than that, that my soul has been stewing in for longer than that. And so it's pretty intrusive. Even when we know what we're doing, it is intrusive. And by the way, I've lost track of the number of clients recently who've said to me, you know, as a feminist, I shouldn't feel this, but it's hard. It's hard to break down those things inside of us, even when we know practically that they're wrong. Even when we know that all of this is bullshit, it's really hard not to be carried away with the myths, not to be carried away with what we've been told, with what we see every single day, because that stuff, it's so insidious, you know? I recently saw a photo of a woman who I know to be absolutely beautiful, inside and outside, who I know that when she is in her truth and being herself, shines like a star. She was surrounded by a group of other women, women who I don't know, but I can only imagine that if she's drawn to them, then they're probably pretty special too. And not only that, but I can only imagine that they're special because I happen to believe that everybody is special, that everybody is beautiful in their own way. It was a really lovely picture, you know, they were all clearly having a great time together, but they all looked the same. Same hair, same makeup, same clothes. They all looked the same. And honestly, it hurt my heart. It made me so sad, and I say that not in a judgmental way, because we've all been there and because I get it. Again, we've all been stewing in this Kool-Aid, for goodness sake. I can assure you that when things open up in the UK fully again, I will inevitably have at least one experience in the first month of wondering why those other women, those incredibly beautiful women I come across when I'm out and about, why I don't look quite so slim as them, why I don't look quite so perfectly made up as them, why I look different to them. Women who inevitably are feeling just as insecure in themselves and are measuring themselves up against the same standards of perceived beauty that our society gives us and coming up short. I know that because I know how many of the clients I work with see themselves as physically lacking in accordance with that standard that we're all told to measure up against. Even as I look at them and I'm completely knocked out by how absolutely beautiful they are. Looking at this photo, though, it made me think about the Sam Fender lyrics that I quote over and over and over again because they're some of my favourite words, I think. In his song White Privilege, he has a line which says, I want to copy what you eat, how you look, who you fuck. I want to be anybody but me. And isn't this it? We have all been given these standards of what it means to be beautiful and more, what it means to be cool. And these patterns of what it is to get to that place of beauty. The patterns that are so often of restriction, of a misdirection of our energies, of a misdirection of the ways in which we see ourselves. And really, the only place that takes us, the only place, is further and further away from ourselves, is to a place of being anybody but us. I mean, is that really a surprise though? Again, this isn't new stuff, is it? I saw an Instagram post last week, maybe, from the brand Dove, who make all sorts of, I think they'd probably call them beauty products, or maybe they wouldn't, but they make all sorts of products and they're big on kind of breaking down this idea of what beauty is. They posted that by the age of 13, 80% of those who identify as girls have distorted the way that they look online, using filters and all sorts of other things. They're running a campaign about trying to make social media more authentic, more inclusive, so that people, young people, can grow up focusing on their own beauty, feeling their own beauty. And I think that's, oh, it's so powerful, isn't it? It's so important. Because the way that we're held up against these beauty standards, these ideals of what it is to be physically attractive, the way that we're told that that is the only thing that classes as, air quotes, beauty, it's dangerous, it's damaging. That concept, that idea of beauty has been weaponized against us. And it's time to take it back. It's time to reclaim it for ourselves so that we can be in our place of beautifulness without judging ourselves against other people. To recognize that what makes us beautiful, to quote those great philosophers of our time, One Direction, isn't about anyone else. It isn't what we see in a magazine, what we see on television or anything else out there. It isn't what anyone else thinks. Our beauty is our own, just as everyone's is. And I'm not talking here just about how we look, although I think right now that idea of physical attractiveness has to come into any sort of description of beauty, because we've been told that that's what it is. We've been told that the two are one and the same. I may have told this story on this podcast before, but a few years ago when I first met my wonderful friend Shayna, she talked to me about makeup. The first day we met, I had on a full face of makeup, as I always did back then. And she asked why. She said to me one day, "You know, you're perfectly beautiful without all of that makeup." And I remember at the time feeling a bit, oh my goodness, maybe I should take all the makeup off. What does this mean? And so I did. So I experimented with it. I spent a big chunk of time where I didn't wear, first of all, any makeup. And then where I played about, I'd wear mascara and eyeliner. I'd wear lipstick. I'd just play about with a little bit here and there to see how I felt. The playing about wasn't to prove to myself that I didn't need makeup, although maybe that was the original intention. But where it got me to was understanding why I felt the need to use makeup, why I felt the need to look different. Was it about how I wanted to look? Or was it about how I wanted to feel? And what's more, were those things driven by something within me, or were they driven by something outside of me? Where I came to was that I really love to put mascara and flicky black eyeliner on. I even really love a red lip if I'm going somewhere. Not because I think it makes me look particularly beautiful, but just because I quite enjoy that ritual of painting my face. I quite enjoy that ritual of accenting something about my face that I appreciate for myself, that I enjoy, that I like, and really drawing my own attention to it. And I quite enjoy the play, the creativity that comes with makeup. But I'm really conscious still, and I still don't know. This was, 4 years ago now? 3 years ago. Anyway, I'm really conscious that I still don't know where that enjoyment comes from. Does it come from me personally? From how I truly, really want to look and feel? Or is it because that's how I've been told that I express my creativity? That accentuating my eyes, that painting on a red lip to look a little bit fierce, that they're things I must do? Honestly, I don't know. I remember once hearing an interview with the comedian and writer and actress Jenny Slate, whose book Little Weirds, by the way, is one of the most beautiful things I've ever read, where she spoke about leg hair. She spoke about getting to a point in her mid-30s where she realised that as an adult woman, she did not know what the hair on her legs actually looked like when it was allowed to grow. She'd waxed, she'd shaved, she'd taken it off and made sure that her legs were perfectly hairless for so long that she had no idea what they looked like without any sort of intervention. The same with her armpits, I believe it was, and so she left them. She let them grow. For a long period of time, she let them grow. Until her hair was exactly how nature expected it to be. And, you know, it wasn't a big deal. She was kind of there with it. She occasionally got the odd look, but she just went with it and kind of relished in the feeling in some ways. Until one day she was at the beach with her grandmother, who said, "Oh my goodness, what are you doing? Shave, get a razor, shave." And from that, she went and did exactly that. I feel like that's such an interesting one because I'm the same. I've played about with body hair, as I'm sure many of us have let my legs grow wild and then got to a point where I thought, yeah, okay, now I want to shave it and see how it's like. And you know, I love the sensation of my legs when they are freshly de-haired. There's a smoothness, there's a loveliness that I really enjoy, that I sort of relish as a bit of a sensual feeling of running my hand up a hairless leg. Sounds a bit weird to say, but it's true. And yet still, even as I say that, even having experimented with it time and time again, I don't know why. I don't know whether truly, really that is something that I love because it feels nice to me, or whether it's something that I love because I've been conditioned to think that that's the right way to feel. Because I've been conditioned to believe that that is beautiful. But you know, this is where we get to, is that how we look is important, but it is about how we feel. And if I take us back from this physical attractiveness idea, back to that idea that I originally spoke about on this episode of what it is to be filled with beauty, to feel that beauty, to feel it overflowing from whatever it is that we're watching or whatever it is that we're feeling or taking in, overflow until it spills out into us. What does that mean, and how do we align ourselves with the beauty of what it is to be alive in this life, with the sensual pleasures of something glorious to look at, to listen to touch? Because those things, they aren't about any sort of physical attractiveness checklist, are they? They're about something that is so much more. And how do we do that? And I wonder, as I'm saying this, what it brings up for you. What is it for you to be aligned with that beauty outside of yourself? Maybe it is the music, maybe it is the scenery, maybe it is an incredible painting or sculpture or something else entirely. And then I wonder, if we step back from that, when do we feel aligned with that sense of beauty within ourselves? Aligned with it to the point that it seems to fill us. Because when I speak about beauty, really, for all of my ramblings about physical attractiveness, it's that that is important. It's when do you feel that sense of such fullness that your heart could burst? That sense of being so amazed at the incredibleness of this world, of this universe, that you literally just go with the flow of it and your heart expands and you want to cry almost. We all feel it in different ways. And it's about figuring out when we feel that within ourselves, I think. And I guess this is where today's episode really links into that Taurus energy. Into realizing that beauty is so much more about pleasure, the pleasure that it brings us to be aligned with that energy. To recognize the tangibleness of that expansion, the tangibleness of that love, the tangibleness of that amazingness of what it is to be here, to witness something that makes our heart sing. Isn't that beauty? Maybe I'm doing an episode on a word that I don't fully understand for myself. Well done, Karen. Great job there. But I wonder, for each of us, if we were to step back from questioning how beautiful we are, from measuring ourselves against some sort of scale of what the world expects us to be, what the world wants us to be, what the world tells us we must be in order to be deemed worthy. I wonder if instead of doing that, we were to look for the pleasure. We were to step into it, to fall into it, to surrender to it and to see the beauty that it brings us. Because, and I guess this is where One Direction really did have it right. Because the thing is, there is nothing more beautiful than somebody who is being wholly and utterly themselves, than somebody who is shining their own light out there. When you see somebody in that place, it doesn't matter what they look like aesthetically. It doesn't even matter what they're doing in many ways. It's just about them being them. It's that alignment with their self, the alignment with their own unique essence, the alignment with being so unapologetically them. To the point of not really giving a shit what the world thinks about it. That's beautiful. We've all seen it. We've all witnessed it. And you know what? Many of us have probably experienced it for ourselves too, in the fleeting moments where we forgot to criticize ourselves and forgot to judge ourselves, but instead just let ourselves be. That is when we're beautiful. That is when we are so filled with our own beauty that beauty radiates outwards to everyone and anyone that we meet. And I'm not going to give you a list of either physical characteristics that you must check off or behaviors that you must check off in order to be aligned with that beauty, because I don't have them. I don't have them for you, just as you won't have them for me. Because they're different for each and every one of us, because beauty is about aligning with the value of what it is to be truly us. We each have a beauty within us. We each are full of beauty because our world is beautiful. Our universe is beautiful. Subjectively, objectively, whatever, our world has so much beauty in it. And as part of that world, as a part of that whole connected living ecosystem, that beauty flows through us. It flows around us and it flows through us. And our job when it comes to being aligned with that beauty isn't to do anything. It's just to step away from the ways that we stop it. The ways that we contract that beauty and restrict it, restrict ourselves from it. Instead, just to be wholly and utterly us. I wonder how it would be if we did that for one day. If for one day we didn't worry about what we should be doing, how we should be looking, but we just went about our day laughing heartily at the things that make us laugh, dressing in the way that makes us feel good. Doing the things that really bring a great big smile to our faces and being with the people who fill our hearts up in the places that just make us feel at one with ourselves. I'd argue that that would be the most beautiful we could be, the most beautiful any of us could ever be. I wonder what if we were to take ourselves into those moments where we truly felt and experienced beauty, and to pursue them in every day and every moment and every hour of our lives. To pursue that feeling rather than certain tangible factors. I wonder how it would be for the rest of our lives. How we'd experience that beauty. How other people would experience it. How it would spill out of us and inspire other people. To just be wholly and unapologetically themselves and to recognize the beauty that is within that. To stop worrying about all of the ways that they're allegedly not beautiful so that they can instead just surrender into the flow of beauty that is this world of ours. And so as I wrap up today's episode, an episode that's been a bit shorter than usual, partly because I feel like I'm just rambling, sorry about that, but also partly because I really do need to crack on with this book, I invite you to put yourself back into that place, into those experiences where you have witnessed something so beautiful, it's taken your breath away. I invite you to connect with how that feels in your body, to the thoughts that come up, or maybe don't, because sometimes within those moments of beauty, conscious thought just goes out of our mind. We're too busy being overwhelmed by it. With how your heart feels and with what it makes you want to say and to do, with what it does to your face. And I invite you for the next day, the next week, or maybe even just the next hour, to follow those feelings. Follow them in the same way that you would follow some sort of quest. Know that beauty is there. It's around you. It's in you. It's just waiting for you to pay attention to it, for everything that it is, for everything that you are. Because if you haven't told yourself it yet today, let me remind you that you are so beautiful, that your life is so beautiful, and that when that beauty radiates out of you, unfiltered, untempered, unharnessed, the whole world cannot help but sit up and take notice. Thank you so much for listening to The Divine Feminist. If you'd like to know more about today's episode, check out the show notes below. If you want to know more in general, head over to Instagram, where it's @divine.feminist, or to my website, KerenRowntree.com/divinefeminist. I'll be back again with another episode in 2 weeks. But until then, I'd love to hear from you. So please get in touch if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions of what you'd like to hear. If you don't want to miss out on future episodes, be sure to subscribe in your favourite podcast store. And hey, if you feel so cold, maybe give us a rating there too. Ideally 5 stars. Until next time though, thank you and take care.